So this area is very personal for me because I actually have my oldest son as a student at Andrews University. So that kind of led me to then try to understand what's going on with our Adventist young people in our colleges. So the purpose today is to examine the relationship between wellness behaviors, and I'll kind of explain what that means, and religiosity amongst a population of SDA college students, and then explore what can we do about it? What can we actually learn from these studies? So there's actually two studies that I'll be going over that is exploring these issues. The first one is a survey. So this is a survey that's actually conducted at Andrews University about every 5 years. And actually, as far as we know, we are the only Adventist university or college that actually wants to know what's actually going on with our students when it comes to drug use, sexual behavior, alcohol use. And then we try to figure out, okay, so what are the things that put them at risk of doing these things, and what are the things that are maybe protective and decrease the chance of them doing these things. And I'll be sharing at least the role that religiosity plays in the risk and protective factors. So we originally used to do it by paper, but this last time we actually did it in a link that was passed out during class. So it wasn't a survey that we told them, oh, go online and do this whenever it's convenient. Because in our experience, especially with this kind of questions, they don't do that voluntarily. So we do it during class. We say, oh, by the way, this is what you're doing for class today. Go to this link. And then it actually took about, on average, about 25, 30 minutes. But it was a lot of questions asking a lot of things. So we actually were very happy that it went very well for them to do it actually on their tablets, or their phones, or their laptop, whatever they happen to have, because everybody has a screen these days, and so that's what we did to collect it. And this was approved by our IRB and Andrews University Administration. Our president, Dr. Andrea Luxton, knows I'm presenting this at the GC, and because we want you all to know what is going on with our Adventist young people at our colleges. So let's first talk about mental health. So that's one of the concerns that we have. And I will tell you, so the health message is a wonderful thing, and I'll be talking about alcohol use and drug use in a minute. But when it comes to mental health, we actually have issues. Now, we don't have worse issues than people around the world. This is actually a global problem. So let me kind of make sure you understand what some of these stats say. So I'll start off with the suicide. So suicide ideation means this is someone who's thought about actually killing themselves. They haven't tried it, but this is someone who's thought about it, had that passing thought of, I just don't want to live anymore. 16% of the students said in the past 6 months they've thought that, but 11% have actually tried to kill themselves. So an overdose, maybe cutting, those types of things. 11%, 1 out of 10 of our Andrews students have actually tried to kill themselves in their lifetime. And so we have concerns about mental health issues. So DAS in the upper left-hand corner there, it stands for Depression, Anxiety, Stress Survey. This is actually a survey, didn't ask, are you feeling depressed? It actually asked about symptoms of depression, symptoms of anxiety. From a clinical aspect, these are people who are diagnosably anxious or depressed. So when you see moderate, severe, very severe, that red, then you see the equal sign. The equal is a combination of those three. So to me as a clinician, especially I'm concerned about the depression, that means 1 out of 4 Andrews students are clinically depressed, 1 out of 4. Or you see 1 out of 5 are clinically diagnosable with an anxiety disorder. So I am very concerned about this. So we're trying to understand what's going on with our students. So we also wanted to look at wellness behaviors. So as an Adventist institution, so we're a GC institution, we want to kind of know where do our young people stand when it comes to the health message. So these are the actual stats and then by percentage. So exercise, and of course we asked in a lot of different ways, but I just chose one. So in with this statistic, exercise is defined as 20 to 60 minutes every day. So exercising vigorously. Now how many of us really do that? So keep those things in mind too. Water is defined as drinking 8 cups of water a day and avoiding sugary drinks. So this is on average how often they're doing those things. Sleep is diet is avoiding high fat, high sugar, processed food most of the time. This is how often they're doing that. Sleep, an average of 7 to 8 hours per night. This is, again, how many of us do that. Vitality, this is actually a little complicated sentence, so I'm going to actually read the exact sentence they were asked about in the survey. I feel I am living life to the fullest, making healthy choices, staying physically fit, and feel I have reached optimum levels of vitality that I work to maintain. So when you're actually looking at the average, so on the very bottom, that mean means average. Average is out of 6. in that never is one, rarely is two, sometimes is three. Do you see then they are somewhere between sometimes and often and closer to sometimes in a lot of them? So we call it the sometimes campus. Andrews University is a so in other words, they're sometimes doing these healthy things. And when you're looking at the mean on the bottom, the lowest is actually sleep. Is that surprising that our college students aren't really getting all that much sleep? And the other low one is vitality. They're not feeling vital. Though the highest is water, so they're more likely to be drinking enough water. So that is a good thing. So when you look at the combination of these health behaviors and then mental health, I'll show you statistically what was actually the things that actually put them at risk. So of all those things, these are the only ones that were actually statistically significant. Let me explain what this means. So this is actually Pearson correlation. So correlation is where you look at one behavior and as one behavior increases, then another behavior increases or another behavior decreases. So in other words, the more vital someone feels, the less likely they're to feeling stressed or anxious or depressed. So this is increased vitality, decreased mental health issues. Now this is not causation. So in other words, we don't know for sure if you feel vital, you won't feel depressed. But there is a relationship, there's a connection here. And then that little one star means it's statistically significant at the 0.01 level. So that means we only have a 1% chance of this being wrong. Then if there's two stars, and later on there'll be some that are two stars, there's a 5% chance of us being wrong. So when you think about how strong these are, so that's another reason why we might want to use correlations, is one is a perfect correlation. So these are obviously less than one. And so 0.11 isn't very high, but again, we're only 1% chance of that being wrong. But in health risk behavior research that we do, and I do a lot of research with colleagues at the Institute for Prevention of Addictions, we actually get excited when we see something that's a 0.3 or a 0.25, because there's lots of things that contribute to our health risk behaviors and the things that we do. So when we're thinking about feeling vital, that 0.3 is actually a pretty good predictor of us feeling less depressed. Or, but sleep, as I said, of the health behaviors, that when it talks about eating breakfast, exercise, it's actually sleep that's the most important when it comes to our mental health. So of all those actual behaviors, sleep is the most important. And again, that's also the lowest for our college students. So that's a big struggle. So when it comes to religiosity, so when you think about, we talk about levels, right, in kind of growth. So I see this as actually a levels of commitment to Christ. So there's those who are not committed. Then there's like, oh, I'm not really sure. Then like, oh yeah, I made a commitment. And then those are on the very right are fully committed. So when you're looking at the rates of depression, so at people at each stage, the people who are the least depressed are the ones that are not committed to Christ. So you know what? Research actually supports this. Atheists who are committed to atheism have actually fairly low rates of depression. So it's really about commitment. I'm committed to something. And it's those who aren't committed, who aren't fully committed, especially as you see those who aren't sure, they have the highest rates of depression. Because they're doubting, they're not sure. But then on the far right, yes, they have low rates, but you know, that's still 1 out of 5 are still clinically depressed. So these are things that protect, but then it is still a struggle for a lot of people. I mean, I think David in the Bible, I honestly think he was depressed. So there are times in all Christians' lives that we will have a struggle, and we'll talk about some of the struggles that our students are facing. So the other thing that I thought was interesting when it comes to religion, there's actually a risk factor in that if you feel that sharing faith for approval of others and mothers, this is the reason why I'm sharing my faith, you're actually more likely to feel depressed, more likely to be anxious, more likely to be depressed. So there's actually risk factors sometimes in our religiosity. If it's feeling external, if you're feeling pressured, you're actually more likely to have mental health issues. So religion isn't always a wonderful thing. We also have to keep in mind, and I think we've talked about the importance of love, relationship, that external pressure is actually harmful to our young people. So now let's actually talk about substance use. So this is risky sharing this at the GC. As I said, Dr. Luxton, our president, knows I'm doing this. I want you to realize, though, even though we're the only ones asking, that doesn't mean other people aren't struggling. I have a friend who has one of her daughters at a college in another country. She says her daughter can't find people who aren't drinking on the weekends at an Adventist college in another country. So this is happening around the world. And really, as Andrews, we actually see ourselves as a very very diverse campus with a very high rate of international students. And actually a vast majority of our Andrews students are Adventists. So this is something that we really believe is going on around the world. So and actually about 88% of our Andrews students are Seventh-day Adventist. So when you're thinking about trends, so that we actually do this, as I said, about every 5 years. So back in 2005, alcohol, so this is the last year. So this is, they've used at least alcohol at least once in the past year. So keep that in mind. That's kind of where we're at. And then 2012 and then 2018. So those are the last 3 years. So you see alcohol is going down a little bit. Now some people wonder, is this really true? So one way we kind of know that we really feel this is fairly accurate is, well, people would have to be lying at about the same rate every year. The other thing that we've also feel this is legitimate is when you compare national statistics in the United States, as things go up or as things go down nationally, that's also happening with our young people. So we really honestly feel this is accurate. So as much as we'd like to deny this, we really feel this is stuff that's really going on. So, but the encouraging thing, not only is alcohol going down, tobacco's gone down quite a bit. It's half of what it was back in 2005. The area of concern, though, is what's going on with marijuana. It's more than doubled. But you know what? That's a national trend as well. And it is what you think it is. It's more normal now. You know, it's for sick people, right? Or now it's becoming legal recreationally in a lot of states. So that's that. But again, tobacco's going down. So I guess what it is people are doing less of one drug and they're doing more of another. So let's actually look at the religiosity aspect when it comes to these statistics. So substance use, if you've internalized your faith, if in other words, I share God, I talk about God because it's important, or I share it because I feel bad. In other words, this is something that's important to you. You are less likely to do those drugs, less likely to use alcohol. So again, religion is a protective factor. The other thing that we found is being involved in your faith is also protective. So again, think about the Adventist health message. If you buying into Adventism and you're being involved with the church, you are buying into the health message. Now, this was not protective for mental health. So going to church did not protect my mental health. It was protective with substance use. So again, I'm only sharing with you that was statistically significant. And also having faith and believing that body is a temple. Again, health message. And if you're buying into the Adventist church, that is very protective on substance use. So it's also important to think about religion. So yes, 88% of the students who participated in the study were Seventh-day Adventist. But when we actually look at by religion, I'd still be good to kind of compare. So it's actually the Buddhists and the Muslims who actually lower rates than we do. Now, that was only seven students, okay? Only seven students were actually identified with that faith. But only one of them had used alcohol in the last year. And actually, a lot of them attend our church, I mean, our Seventh-day Adventist college at Andrews University because we don't have alcohol on campus. And so that's part of why it draws some of them to us. But still 24%. So when you think about the actual Adventist young people, one out of four of them have consumed alcohol in the last year. And we actually conduct this survey in March. So it's before spring break, but they've been on campus for most of that year. And also it's March because it's not the dead of winter. So we really feel these mental health statistics are a real issue. So we're trying to understand then what's going on with our young people. We're trying to understand the mental health aspect and the substance use. So what I did with my graduate assistant, who was from Ethiopia, not an Adventist, so we kind of got a different perspective, he and I actually did follow-up focus groups with our Adventist young people who are 18 to 25 and only SDA and only non-married. So this is kind of your traditional Andrews at traditional Adventist college student. So we tried to understand more of what was going on, and this is partially funded by the Office of Archives, Statistics, and Research, because what I did is I paid each one of those participants $20 because it was time. I also fed them as well, so I needed that additional funding to be able to do that, to be able to draw them in so they can talk about some of these uncomfortable things. So we got a total of five groups in there, and with a total of 39, and you see the ethnic breakdown is very diverse. So again, Andrews campus is also very diverse. And so we feel like we got a good representation, again, of our Adventist young people and what they're thinking about when it comes to substance use. So they're like, you know what? It's actually happening more than you think. And because our church sets standards, they know they're not supposed to be drinking. So what they do is they kind of do it behind the scenes. And the reasons why they're doing it, they said it's a way to cope. Way to cope with stress or escape from emotional distress. Remember the mental health issues. They said it's also a way to have fun. And they said it kind of depends on which peer group you're part of. So I said there isn't peer pressure per se, but if your friends are doing it, you're not going to stay home and not do it. They also say sometimes, especially when it comes to Adderall or caffeine, it can actually help you with college. But they also know, yeah, too much drinking and drugging, not a good thing. So I want to actually read a quote to kind of represent what the students are trying to say to us. So I and by the way, oral grammar is not good written grammar. So just keep that in mind, but hopefully you'll kind of get the gist of what they're trying to say. So these are themes, things that we keep hearing them talk about. So I think one thing is, although we're Adventists, we're also 18 or 20 something, and generally people associate college with fun. And a lot have the idea of college as like drinking and getting drunk or this recreational activities. And some people, maybe they want to experiment. Some people, they are not necessarily set in their faith. This is a thing they can't do. And it's just like the ideal picture of college. So in the United States, there's this idea of college for partying. And you know what? They still have that idea too. So Adventism says this, then the world says this. And sometimes they're going to experiment and want to see what it's really like. So when it comes to physical health, they actually know, yes, I should be going to the gym. And it is an important thing. So they know, again, health messages teaching that. And also society is talking about it. But they're like, hey, I'm 18 and 20. I feel fit. And I have an 18-year-old, and he often says, "I feel good. I don't see why I have to go to the gym." So they think they can get away with it, and they said they're really busy. It's actually a challenge to try to fit all this in. Again, maybe you guys struggle with it too. And they said again, it depends on your peer group. If your friends are going to the gym, you're more likely to go to a gym. So here's a quote: "I think the majority of us kind of almost like think it's impossible because we're drowned with work or school stuff, and we have to do this and that. We also want to be socially active. So it's kind of like, well, like at least the working out part or like taking care of ourselves properly kind of just gets pushed to the bottom sometimes." They also talked about that when it comes to sleep too. They're like, yeah, I can go without sleep. So mental health, these are some of the things that we keep hearing them talk about. They know there's resources available. So Andrews University is actually really good when it comes to art. We have a counseling and testing center. They are awesome. And they say, yes, we know where to go. They talk about mental health stuff all the time. But you know what? There's still the stigma. I don't want to talk about my problems. I don't want to see my counselor on campus and them know I have problems. So here's a quote. This is my sophomore year. So it's something that I guess students kind of take for granted, that they just expect you to go to class and be okay with everything that happens. And there's a lot of drama that happens in college, a lot more than I would have liked to have think to happen in college. But you have to be able to, nonetheless, from personal experience, that I should have gone and talked to a counselor just for my own mental health. And because of like the student persona of like, oh, you don't need to do that, you'll be okay, you'll work through it, I didn't, and I should have. So they just don't want to admit there's a problem, don't want to go. So I asked, well, then what's stopping you guys from being more healthful? He says, it's stress. They're having a hard time balancing it all. And you all know probably from being in college some of the struggles you may have gone through. And the other additional things that they're dealing with that you may not have dealt with is social media. They have to figure out how to juggle social media along with everything else. And they said, you know, they'd like to be able to work out more, but the gym isn't really open when they want to go. And they admit they're making poor choices. They know it. They know they're not doing the right thing, but they feel like this is all they can do to cope with everything. And they're not really happy about having to be in college and not really knowing what they want to do with their life. So they're just a lot of things they're struggling with. So here's a quote. I mean, the school really pushes the health message, and so they offer healthier food and choices in the caf. And I feel a lot of people like take advantage of that. And there's a gym in the guys' dorm. There's a gym in the girls' dorm. We have access at certain times of the day. Really allows students to go and use them and exercise. I just feel a lot of college students just don't. Just with me and being overwhelmed, it's just easier to just sit in your dorm room, watch television, and just let it all go away. So we asked about religion. So they said, yes, Adventist church does set standards, and it helps them resist because, like, hey, I'm an Adventist, I don't do that. But they're like, yeah, but then that makes you feel guilty if you do. And if you haven't really bought into the church's message, then you're not going to then do it if you haven't internalized it. So here's a quote. I think the church tends to shame people into doing things a lot of the time. It's not do this because it's good for you. It's more do this because if you don't, you're not doing good. You aren't going down the right path, and you are bad because of it. I think there's a lot of things that should be approached differently from a religious aspect. Instead of shaming someone into doing something, just encourage them to live a godly life, a Christian life, whatever. And I think we're talking about a lot of that this weekend. So here's a recommendation by the focus group. They are feeling isolated and controlled. In our Adventist institutions often are in more rural areas, but you know what? Our students aren't necessarily from rural areas. They don't like being isolated. They want to be able to get off campus. They want to be able to have choices. They are feeling controlled. They don't like the curfews. They don't like the mandatory chapels. They want to be treated like adults. And they also think, even though, yes, we say we shouldn't be drinking alcohol, they are. Maybe we need to talk about what would actually be dangerous levels of drinking. So here's a quote. I've had many conversations about mandatory chapels with a lot of people. A lot of people think that making it mandatory ruins the whole point as to why people choose to come to an Adventist school. We have the opportunity to worship and be with other people like you, but when you're forced and you have to write a paper or have to test a study for, when you're forced to be there, you're just going to sit there on your laptop and some people are asleep. Kind of ruins the worship experience for those who are there to worship. It ruins the point of being able to worship when you have to go. So here's a survey summary here. So again, alcohol down a bit, but marijuana is more than double. But then alcohol is down, but it's being used more than tobacco. Depression, anxiety is an issue. It's an increasing issue nationally and actually internationally. And religion is a risk factor, but also a protective factor. And the focus group summary is, it's a challenge of being a college student. You know, there's a lot of stresses they're under. And there's a cultural influence. In other words, in America, you go there to party. And then they also think they're invincible. They don't have to worry about those things. Don't want to admit that there's a problem. So what we need to do is approach our young people differently. We want to support, encourage, help them figure out how to balance all these things. And then we need to be more open about mental health. We all have our struggles. Adventism does not fix our mental health issues. We are all going to still struggle with some things. So thank you very much for your time.